This message is given in the name of Jesus, our ascended Lord and Savior. Amen. You may be seated. Well, as I mentioned earlier, today I conclude my sermon series, God's Big Picture, Primary Events in Salvation History. And the primary event that we'll be learning about today is the ascension of Jesus to his Father in heaven. So with that said, today's gospel reading from the very end of Luke chapter 24 gives us a short but very important bit of information. It tells us about Jesus' ascension to the Father in heaven, and Luke writes about that event in these words. When Jesus had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Now, I'll say more about the meaning of Jesus' ascension for us in a bit. At this point, I want to explain what at first appears to be an example of Scripture contradicting itself. At least that's what the skeptics like to point out. So, what is this apparent contradiction? Well, simply put, when you read the beginning of Luke chapter 24, which is the last chapter of Luke's gospel, at the beginning of Luke chapter 24, it is clear that Jesus appeared to his disciples in Jerusalem on the very same day that he rose from the dead. And then, at the end of Luke's gospel, which was our gospel reading for today, we're told that Jesus took them to Bethany, and there he ascended into heaven. Now, when people read the words that I read for you from the end of Luke's gospel about Jesus' ascension, it seems as though Luke is saying that Jesus spoke those words and ascended into heaven on the same day that he rose from the dead and appeared to his disciples in Jerusalem. Now, it doesn't actually say that, but people assume that's what's happening. They assume that when you read Luke 24, Jesus rises from the dead, and then on the same day he appears to his disciples in Jerusalem, and then on the same day he takes them out to Bethany and he ascends to heaven. That's what some people assume Luke 24 is saying. And if that is the case, well then, I admit, we do have a problem. You see, even though the Gospel of Matthew does not mention Jesus' ascension into heaven, at the end of Matthew's Gospel we're told that the resurrected Jesus appeared to his disciples on a mountain in Galilee, a few miles north of Jerusalem. Also, even though the Gospel of John does not mention Jesus' ascension, in John chapter 20, we're told that the resurrected Jesus appeared to his disciples in Jerusalem on two different occasions, and that there was a period of 1 week between those two appearances in Jerusalem. And then, in John chapter 21, we're told that Jesus appeared to his disciples again up in Galilee. Now, there are those who assume, wrongly, that this information contradicts itself because Luke apparently says that on the same day that Jesus rose from the dead and appeared to his disciples, he also on the same day ascended to heaven. And if that's true, then how could Jesus later appear to his disciples in Galilee and so on? But my friends, there is no contradiction. This is why it's so important that we are familiar with the whole Bible and that we read individual texts in light of the big picture so that we understand how it all fits together. You see, this is a good example of where we must let Scripture interpret itself. You see, the same Luke who wrote the Gospel of Luke, he also wrote the book of Acts. You could say that the book of Acts is Luke's Gospel, Volume 2. And in Acts chapter 1, verse 3, Luke himself says that Jesus appeared to his disciples at various times over a period of 40 days. And please note, Luke didn't give us that information at the end of Luke 24. Nor did Luke say that Jesus ascended to heaven on the same day that he rose from the dead. People just assume that Luke is saying that because they haven't read the Bible very carefully. But the fact is, all Luke says in Luke 24 is that Jesus rose from the dead, and on the same day he appeared to his disciples in Jerusalem. And then he ends his gospel by saying, later in Bethany he ascended to heaven. But nowhere does Luke say that he ascended to heaven on the same day that he rose from the dead. And then when we get to Acts chapter 1, Luke is very clear to say that Jesus appeared to his apostles at various times over a period of 40 days after he rose from the dead. So my friends, there's no contradiction whatsoever between what the Gospels say about Jesus' resurrection appearances to his disciples. In fact, I'd like you to listen to what the Apostle Paul says about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He says, Christ appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of them who are still living. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also. And Paul doesn't even mention the other times that Jesus mentioned appeared to other people at other times and places. So there you have it. Just as Luke says in Acts chapter 1, Jesus appeared to his disciples at various times over a period of 40 days after his resurrection. It's just that Luke doesn't give us that particular information at the end of Luke chapter 24. He saves it for the beginning of his second volume in Acts chapter 1. However, because Jesus remained on earth for 40 days after his resurrection and before his ascension, there was plenty of time for Jesus to appear to his apostles several times in Jerusalem, as John's gospel teaches us. And also there was plenty of time for Jesus to meet with his disciples up in Galilee, as both John's Gospel and Matthew's Gospel teach us. So not only is there no contradiction between the Gospels, but the information that we receive about Jesus and his appearances from Matthew and Luke and John and the book of Acts, all this complements what the Bible says about Jesus' resurrection and gives us a bigger picture of what happened than any one gospel by itself. So with that understood, what is the point of Jesus' ascension, and what does Jesus' ascension mean for us today? Well, first of all, I want to help you understand what the apostles were going through as they witnessed Jesus' ascension. In fact, you may have the same thoughts and feelings as you consider the ascension of Jesus. Let's face it. At first, the fact of Jesus' ascension seems to be a depressing reality. Why is that? Well, the ascension seems to be saying, someone we love has left us. I mean, imagine how the disciples must have felt when they saw Jesus ascend to heaven. They loved him so much. That's why their hearts were breaking when they saw Jesus suffering and dying on the cross. And then imagine how their hearts exploded with joy 3 days later when they saw him alive again. But then, 40 days later, Jesus ascended to heaven out of their sight. What were they thinking then? They were probably thinking, why has he left us? He died, then he got our hopes back by rising from the dead, but now he's left us. He's left us all alone. Do you feel that way sometimes? Do you feel like you've been left alone? Maybe people you love have moved away. You don't see them as often as you'd like, and there's an empty place in your heart. Oh, sure, you can speak with them on the phone, you can Skype with them on the internet, but it's not the same. Not the same as being with them in person. Worse yet, maybe someone you love dearly has died. Not only are you unable to see or touch that person, you can't even hear that person's voice anymore. And you know what? Sometimes we wonder if God has left us. We can't see Him. We can't touch Him. Oh, we can pray to Him, but we cannot hear Him speak back to us. And when we go through times of pain and hardship and loss, we begin to wonder if God even cares, if He even knows what we're going through. And then on top of all that, there's that line in the creed, He ascended into heaven. The ascension seems to be the final nail in the coffin. The ascension seems to say to us, Jesus has left. Jesus has left us all alone. Well, my friends, I know how you feel because I experience the same loss and pain that you do. But I'm here today to give you some awesome good news. You see, far from being a depressing event, the fact of Jesus' ascension is meant to give us great comfort and certain hope. With that said, listen to these words of Jesus that appear immediately before today's gospel reading. In Luke chapter 24, Jesus says, I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Did you hear that? Before Jesus ascends, He tells His disciples to wait in Jerusalem until He sends them what His Father has promised. And then, at the end of the day's gospel reading, after Jesus ascends, Luke writes the following, Then Jesus' disciples worshipped Him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple praising God. Now, I'm sure they were really depressed when they first saw Jesus ascending. But then they remembered His words. Stay in Jerusalem. I won't leave you alone. I will send you the Spirit that my Father promised. They maybe also remembered His words that He spoke to them up in Galilee days before His ascension. Remember our reading from Matthew? When Jesus was with them in Galilee, He said, I will be with you always, to the very end of the age. So even though I'm sure they were depressed and brokenhearted when they saw Jesus ascend, they remembered His words. They remembered that He said He would be with them always. They remembered that He said, go to Jerusalem, I will send you the gift my Father promised. Now, when Jesus tells them that He will send them what the Father has promised, He's speaking of a special giving of the Holy Spirit that they would receive on the day of Pentecost, which occurred approximately 10 days after Jesus' ascension. The Holy Spirit, as you recall, inspired the apostles to be powerful witnesses for Jesus, and the result was that several thousand people were converted to faith in Jesus on the day of Pentecost. And my friends, the good news is that God also sends us the Holy Spirit. He sends us the Holy Spirit in the waters of holy baptism, where our sins are washed away and the Spirit gives us new hearts of repentance and faith. The same Holy Spirit also comes to us through the preaching and teaching of God's Word, which the Holy Spirit uses to convict us of sin and bring us to faith in Jesus. My friends, the Holy Spirit assures us that Jesus has not left us. In fact, the Holy Spirit, through the Word, assures us that Jesus is as close to us as He could possibly be. You see, one important thing the Holy Spirit does is to draw our attention to Jesus' words. And as we consider the fact that Jesus ascended to heaven, the Holy Spirit wants us to remember these words of Jesus from Luke chapter 22, which he spoke before he ascended. Jesus said on the night before he was betrayed, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." Did you hear that? Jesus has not left us. He is with us always, as he promised. Not only does he come to us in the waters of holy baptism, not only does he speak to us through Holy Scripture, but even more, with his own words, he assures us that he gives us his own body and blood to eat and to drink in the Holy Supper he's entrusted to his church. On top of all that, I'd like you to listen to what the Apostle Paul writes about the ascension of Jesus in Ephesians chapter 1. Paul says that after the Father raised Jesus from the dead, he did the following. And here's what Paul writes. "He seated Jesus at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under Jesus' feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way." Now, my friends, Paul makes two very important points about the ascension here, so listen closely. First point, Jesus' ascension means that he reigns over all creation. You know what that means? Jesus is in control. And we need to remember that, because sometimes when we look at the world today, when we watch the news or listen to the radio or surf the internet, we might conclude that God has taken his hand off the wheel. Or that God has checked out and he's not even paying attention to what's going on. When we look at the world today, we might conclude that God is not in control at all. That evil is running amok. But that's not what Paul says. Paul says the ascension of Jesus assures us that he's in control, and that no evil power in all creation can take you away from God and his loving plan for you. And that's especially important to remember when you do go through times of trial or suffering in this life. Whether it's the ravages of old age, or whether it's some other physical illness or disability, or whether it's natural catastrophes, or whether it's terrorist acts or other evil crimes, or whether it's the persecution of Christians. God is in control of all of this. So when you do suffer, it's not because God has abandoned you. It's not because he's taken his hand off the wheel. It's not because he's ignoring you. No, according to Scripture, when you do suffer, it's all part of God's plan to bless you. Now, we might not understand how or why God is allowing us to face various trials, but we have his promise that he will work in all things for our present and eternal good. Even though it might appear that evil has the upper hand, it doesn't. Christ has won the victory. He's in control of creation. One day he will return and set all things right. But even now he reigns. He reigns for us. He's in control. We simply need to trust him. In the Creed, we say that Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father. Now, this does not mean that Jesus' body is hidden away in some distant part of the universe. That's not what Paul means. When Paul says that Jesus is at God's right hand, he means that Jesus reigns over all creation along with his Father and the Holy Spirit. Jesus is in control. That's the first thing Paul teaches us about Jesus' ascension from the book of Ephesians. Here's the second point Paul makes. In Ephesians chapter 1, Paul says that because Jesus has ascended, he now fills everything in every way. In other words, now that Jesus has ascended, He exists everywhere. Unlike those few years he was walking the earth where his body took up finite space, now that he's ascended, he fills everything in every way. We might not be able to see him or touch him as his apostles did, but he is still with us nevertheless. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul also writes this about Jesus' ascension. He says, Christ is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens. Why? In order to fill the whole universe. Did you hear that? Far from the ascension meaning that Jesus has left us, Jesus' ascension actually means that his body is no longer confined to one space. Jesus' ascension means that he now fills the whole universe. As Jesus said at the end of Matthew's gospel, I will be with you always to the very end of the age. Again, we may not be able to see Jesus or touch him or actually hear him speak with his own mouth as the disciples did, but he's with us nevertheless, just as he promised. In fact, when you think about it, most believers in history have had to believe that God is present with them, even though they couldn't see him or touch him. All the believers throughout the Old Testament had to believe that God was with them, even though they could not see him in the flesh. Most Christians after the ascension have had to believe that Jesus was with them, even though they could not see him or touch him. This reminds me of what Peter wrote to some new believers who had never seen Jesus with their own eyes or heard him or touched him. Here's what he wrote to them. Though you have not seen Jesus, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So, like those Christians in Peter's day, like Christians throughout the centuries, we have not seen Jesus with our own eyes. We have not touched him with our own hands. We have not heard him with our ears. But he's with us nevertheless. And we love him. And we're filled with joy because he has given us salvation. In him we are forgiven. And we look forward, as the Creed says, to the resurrection of the body and the life of the world to come. That's right, my friends. Jesus will return in visible form one day. But until then, we take him at his word. He is with us always to the very end of the age. Think about it. The ascended Jesus came to you in the waters of holy baptism and adopted you as his own. The ascended Jesus continues to speak to you. How? Through Holy Scripture. That's why it's so important to regularly hear Scripture preached and taught, to read it on your own. That's how Jesus speaks with us today. In fact, Jesus also is with us physically. When we eat his body and drink his blood in the Lord's Supper, whenever it's offered in this sanctuary. Jesus has not left us alone. He reigns over all creation for us, and he is with us always, just as he promised. Well, my friends, this ends my sermon series, God's Big Picture, Primary Events in Salvation History. We certainly have not covered all the details of Scripture. That's why you need to keep coming to church over the months and years, because there's always more to learn. But the important events I did cover in this sermon series, beginning with the book of Genesis, all these primary events in salvation history that we learned about the last few months, they helped give you the big picture and they helped you to see how all of Scripture ultimately leads us to Jesus, our Lord and Savior, who is ascended and reigns over all creation until the day he returns for you. That's right, because Jesus is ascended, you can look forward to the resurrection of the body and the life of the world to come. Amen. Now,